بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد. My dear respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen each one of us and has made us from the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as Lamya Ali Musalatu wasalam were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are the chosen ummah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The selection that was made of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam and of this ummah was of a specific work and a task, and that was to invite everybody towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide them towards the right and the good, and save them and stop them from doing the evils and the wrong. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam came to the world, were given this task, and they did as much as they could, and each one was successful in the effort that was entrusted in onto them. Finally, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the seal of all the prophets, came into this world. He was given the very same task which was given to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the past. And from the day the work was put forward before him, right up to the time he left the world, this was his main figure and his main concern. When this work was entrusted onto him, he immediately realized the heaviness of this work itself, the task that was before him. And he mentioned these words, "La rahata ba'd al-yawm." After this day, there is no comfort and ease for me. He knew the load that was given unto him, to strive and to make such an effort, the effect of which will remain until the day of Qiyamah. In the past, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that came into this world, they were given a task to do, and they were given a limited period. From this period until this period, then another Nabi will come and he will take over. There were times when there were more than one Nabi working at the same time. But with the coming of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no new Nabi is going to come into this world. The work which Allah took from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the past was now taken by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the period was until the day of Qiyamah, and the entire world, not just one country or one area, etc., the entire world until the day of Qiyamah. Imagine this load being placed on just one individual soul. The heaviness of the work itself, the impact of the work itself, and he realized it from the very beginning that it is no small work to invite the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stop them from doing what they have been doing, what they have been doing for generations, to stop them from doing all those things. And right in Makkah Mukarramah, he has been seeing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was built specifically by a Nabi and his son, which was specially built to make the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that very same house, the house of Allah, the Kaaba Sharif, idols were placed, and not just one or two, 360 idols were placed. He had to make such an effort that every one of those idols be taken out from there. Every person that's living around there will accept this message and follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A complete change to come in the lives of all the people, and not only the people of his area, the Quraysh or the Meccans, etc., but the entire world, all the nationalities of the entire world. This was the task that was placed before him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, whenever a work is entrusted unto them, they are there ready to accept. Like the malaika. The malaika, when work is given to them, there is no such thing as why should I do it, or shouldn't I do it, or should I do it, etc. A work is given unto them, and they readily accept. Similarly, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, whatever was told to them to do, they readily accepted it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing the heaviness of the work, yet it was a task that was entrusted unto him, he accepted it. Knowing fairly well that the work has been given to me, is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who has given me this task, he will help and he will assist me. It's not that I have to do it myself, he is there to help and to assist me. And the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. He gave them responsibilities, he gave them work to do, and as they were doing the work, Allah's guidance and help and assistance was with them 24 hours of the day. Allah was watching every move of theirs. And as a result, Allah guided them whenever the need and assistance was received. So with this yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started making effort. And that effort, we know for the first 10, 13 years of Makkah Mukarramah, what hardships he had to go through. The difficulties that he had to go through, and not from outsiders, but people of his own family, his own relatives, his own uncle. The hardships, the difficulties. Imagine the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most, the superior most amongst all the people of the world, making sajda right in front of the Kaaba Sharif. Making sajda in front of the Kaaba Sharif. Between him and Kaaba, there's nobody else, nothing there. And in that state of making sajda, the enemies of Islam, amongst themselves, one of them takes a bet with the others. Who is so brave enough to go to the house of a certain person who has swallowed the camel, and the intestines are lying outside? Who is brave enough to go there and pick up those intestines, bring it into the haram, and place it on the back of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is making sajda? Now imagine the effort. To whom it is being done? Not to any one of you and I. To Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding whom it is said that if it was not for his creation, Allah would not have created the entire universe. Regarding him, this is being done. And what do they do? One of them gets up, he goes there and he picks it up and places it on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was just one of those hardships that he had to go through. This entire stay of Makkah Mukarramah, from the very beginning, right up to the end, finally it came to a stage where he had to migrate, leave what you call Makkah Mukarramah, make hijrat and go into Madinah Munawwara. A stage had come where the people were out to destroy and to kill him. And who? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the same fikr and concern, he goes to Taif. To invite the people of Taif, thinking this in mind, that the people in Makkah, whom I had high hopes on, they did not accept. Barely 40 or 50 people embrace Islam, after a number of years of effort. With this in mind, that people of Taif are known for their hospitality, let me go up to them, present the deen to them, and who knows, they will accept this deen. With this expectation, he goes, travels towards Taif, and he said that this journey of Taif was not just starting in Makkah and the next stop in what you call in Taif, like how we sit in the car and move from one point to the other point. It was a journey where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave a single village on the way. Every village that was there, he went and he gave them dawah. It was like a walking jamaat that he was traveling from one point to the other, one point to the other. Reaching right up to Taif, and there when he goes there, the four chieftains of Taif, whom he had great and high hopes that they will receive this message, they will accept the work, they will join hands with me. Instead, not one of them was there. And they said what they wanted to say. Says, Allah couldn't find another person better than you in the world of Allah. Your people could not join in hands with you, etc. And they said whatever they wanted to say. And not only that, but they put their children to throw stones at him and beat him. To this extent that blood was coming out of his body. To this hardship and difficulties he left. Allah was watching and observing all those things. Allah was watching. Allah knew everything what was happening. If Allah willed, Allah could have prevented this from happening. In this work of Dawah and Tabligh, this is what, whoever comes onto this path, whoever accepts this path, he will have to go through these things. But going through it, what reward Allah has kept, is something we cannot imagine. What Allah has prepared for us in place of the hardship that one goes through, making effort in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is beyond our imaginations. Allah is observing, watching everything. An angel comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is commanded with the mountains. He comes up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if Allah has sent me and asked me to find out from you whether you give permission for me to bring both the mountains together of Taif and crush everyone that is living in there for what they have done to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a mercy unto the entire universe. He was not here to destroy humanity.
He had yaqeen that today they may not, tomorrow inshallah they will. If they don't, their children will accept. And what did he say? He took the entire blame on himself. Not that they did not accept, I could not present the message to them in the right way. Took everything onto himself, that it was my mistake, I wouldn't do it correctly. And he spared every one of them. Knowing fairly well that inshallah, time will come, definitely it will come, when they will accept. And this was the yaqeen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when on one occasion, he spoke and told Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and after seeing all that she saw, the hardship that he was going through, says, don't worry my daughter, a time will come when Islam and deen will reach every home in the world. A time will come when deen will spread and reach every home in the world. Homes built of baked bricks and homes built of unbaked bricks. It's going to reach every home. This was the yaqeen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is going to happen. And when this is going to happen throughout the world, then Taif also definitely it will happen also. So with this yaqeen, he leaves and he comes down from Taif. He leaves the city of Taif. And just on the outskirts of Taif, a unique and a very strange incident happens. And this is a reminder to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding what he is going through. Not to lose hope and not to despair. He is coming down Taif. He passes a garden, an orchard, fruit orchard of some people of Makkah Mukarramah. There were two brothers who had a farm growing grapes. And they saw what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through. They were not Muslims. But they knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew of his effort. And they were observing and seeing what was happening to him in Taif. And as he was coming down in the state of his, they were observing everything. That's in a, what you call, feeling that they had with them, that no matter what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is, what you're inviting towards the salah, although they were not Muslims, but they had the feeling that he is one of us, let us help and assist him. So what they did was this. They had a servant that was working for them, a slave in the garden of grapes. They told the servant, take this bunch of grapes and give it to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time they were not Muslims, just give it to Muhammad. The slave takes the grapes, he goes up to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he presents this grapes to him, grapes to him. He takes the grapes and then he asks the slave, who are you? What is your name and where do you come from? And the slave speaks out and he says, my name is Addas. My name is Addas and I come from Nenwa. Just these two things, he said. Slave working for these people, my name is Addas and I come from Nenwa. When he says these two words, Addas and Nenwa, immediately the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had gone through all that hardship and difficulties, hearing the word Nenwa itself was such that light began to shine on his face. It was as though there was some great message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving him through this word itself. The slave, when he sees the change, and when he says this from Nenwa, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utters these words and says, from the village of my brother Yunus. He says the word, from the village of my brother Yunus. On hearing this, Addas himself, he is taken aback. Says, here in this place, nobody knows of my town. There's nobody here that even knows the place Nenwa where I come from. Leave alone the history of Nenwa itself. And here is a person here who knows not only of my place, but he knows the history of my place also. And he knows that a prophet by the name of Yunus was sent to my village. And he came and he worked there. And he knows about all this. So when he hears this, it took him aback with shock and surprise. Love filled in his heart for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And immediately he forgot who he was. And he took his bare hands and placed it on the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brushing it with the beard of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of happiness and joy, that alhamdulillah, here is a person here in this place here. I am a slave here working for these people, but there is somebody here who knows my place and who knows about the prophet that came to my place also. So then he asks him, how do you know about Yunus? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentions to him, that just as Yunus alayhi salam was a prophet sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Nineveh, which is in Iraq, an area which is what, 10,000 people living there. Just as he was sent to work on the people of Nineveh, similarly, the very same Allah has appointed me as the seer and all the prophets, the final prophet, and I've been given the same task, the task that was given to Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. There and there the slave embraces Islam. The people in the entire refused, but here it was a person that embraces Islam. This incident that happens here, on this occasion, it was a sign to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that what Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam went through, you are now going through the same thing also. Don't despair. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to Nineveh. He stayed there, he worked and invited the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For years and years he made effort. And he told them to accept Islam, accept the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of the people of Nineveh were ready to accept. A time came when Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam felt that I've tried my best, I've done whatever I could. The people of Nineveh are not ready to accept. Let me leave them and go away from you. They are not prepared to accept, and even if I carry on remaining and making effort, they still won't accept. Let me leave them now and go away. He left and he went away from them. He went to the shores of the sea. A boat was moving, about to leave. He got on the boat also, and the boat started moving. Just as it took off into the deep waters, there was a storm, and the ship was about to, what you all see. It was a normal custom at that time, the captain of the ship, when a thing like this happens, immediately he thinks to himself and he says, that it seems a slave has run away from his master, as a result this we are going through these difficulties, and to safeguard every one of us, that slave will have to own up and we will have to throw him into the waters. This was a normal custom. When the captain spoke of this, immediately Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam realized that the reference here is being made to me. I am that slave sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go to Nineveh and work there. And to invite the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without taking permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without waiting for Hawaii to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I left the task that I was supposed to do and I've run away from my master. And he speaks out and he tells the people, I am that person, you may go ahead and do what you want to. When they see that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, so pious and full of noor and blessing on his face, how can we throw such a person into the seas? He says, no, I am that very person. They were not prepared to accept. So they said, okay, we will write the names of everyone, and whoever's name comes out, the lot comes out, we will throw that person. The first time his name came out. The second time his name came out. The third time again his name came out. So there's no alternative but to throw him into the water. And finally they did that. Allah is observing, he's watching everything what is happening. No sooner he was thrown into the water, Allah through his qudrat made it possible, a huge fish, we can term it as a whale, it would be bigger than a whale also. It came right there, opened its mouth, and as they threw it in Yunus alayhi salam, it went right into the stomach of the fish. And the fish was instructed that this is not food for you. This is an amanat which we are keeping in your stomach. You are not allowed to eat this. It remained in the stomach of the fish, some says, for almost 40 days it remained there. And when it went inside the Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, immediately realized the mistake he had made, and he started asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allah, it's my error, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have done this. It is said that if Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam did not repent, and did not ask for forgiveness, did not make istighfar, Allah would keep him in the stomach of the fish until the day of Qiyamah. Until the day of Qiyamah, he will remain in the fish. He repented, realized the mistake he made, asked for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made it such that Allah accepted the tawbah, the mistake of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. The fish was instructed, go back again to the shores and open your mouth and release Yunus alayhi salam. The fish went right up to the bank of the sea, the shores, and opened his mouth and Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam came out. His body remaining in the stomach of the fish was like jelly, let's say, for 40 days in the stomach. For a while it remained there, with the heat or the sun, etc. The slight movement came into him. And then when he got up, he saw that he was in a place where it was just sand and sand and sand and water on the other side. There's no shelter, there's no place. He asked for help from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible. Just where he was close to it, some trees began to grow. And within a short while, it started growing and it provided shelter for him. He remained there for a while, a number of days. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent insects there to destroy the tree. It started eating the roots. And within a short while, the trees all began to finish and it came down completely. When this happened, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam uttered worry and concern. He uttered these words, "Hi, what's going to happen to me now? What's going to happen to me?" When he said this, "What's going to happen to me?" Allah replied to him. He says, "What is going to happen to you? You are worried and you are concerned. But what is going to happen to the 10,000 that you have left in Nanwa? What is going to happen to them? You are not worried and concerned about them. You have been sent to these people to guide them. And you have left them and come away. What is going to happen to them? They are going to die without Iman. They are going to go to Jahannam. Forever and ever they are going to suffer, etc. You're not worried about them and you're just worried about your own self." Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam another instructions. And this instruction was this, that go back again to Nanwa and invite those people again as you had been doing in the past. This was an order and instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the heart a person has. He's left those people and he had given them warnings that if you are not going to accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azab of Allah is going to descend upon you. And he mentioned to them that this is the form of azab. You'll see dark clouds coming and with the dark clouds you find all this azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that are going to come up to you. Accept the deen, otherwise this is what is going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the doer of everything. Allah made it such. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is told to go towards them. And he started moving, going towards them. And while he was walking and going towards Nanwa, on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started sending the dark clouds towards them. The clouds of azab. And he said that only Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was that of Nabi to whose people azab was already sent. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the repentance of the people, that azab was taken back. The azab was sent towards them. The people of Nanwa observed, they saw the clouds are coming. And immediately it sends to them that this is that very same clouds regarding which Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was repeatedly reminding us, be careful. Sometimes if you're not going to accept, this is what's going to happen. And immediately they realize that there's destruction for us and we're all going to be destroyed. They rushed to their king. And they told him that this is what we are seeing and this is what we've been told. And the only way for salvation is to go and find Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, bring him back to us and embrace Islam under his hand. Mashwara was made in the palace of the king. The king gave instructions. Jamaats were made out. Now imagine, look at it. Jamaats were made in the palace of the things. And each one of the jamaats were sent to different sections. You go to the north, you go to the east, you go to the west, you go to the south, and look for Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, and at any cost you bring him back here. He was coming towards them with a heavy heart, not knowing what's going to happen to him. How is he going to face the people? And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that the king himself had now given instruction to his people, you go out and you search for him. And they started going out and searching for him. One such group saw at a distance Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, lone person coming and walking, coming towards them. They were surprised also. He was going away. He left us and he went away. And here we find he's coming back again to us. And he's worried also. How will he face them? They came up to him. And when they saw that it was Yunus, out of happiness and joy, they went up to him, received him, welcomed him, embraced him, and he says, come with us, we are waiting, we are looking for you, and just as us, there are many other groups that are out searching for you also, the king is waiting for you, and we all are ready, we all want to embrace Islam. And he was shocked and surprised also, what is this? The people whom I have been making effort for years, and this is what they see. He went down to this place, and when he went there, he said, everybody was waiting for him, they were all received, happy did they see. And he went up to the king and he presented, put forward deen before him. He embraced Islam and every one of the town, the 10,000 that were there, every one of them embraced Islam. It was a reminder to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. You're returning from Taif. Not one of them accepted in Taif. You went through all the hardships in Makkah Mukarramah. Don't fear. Just as the people of what you call Nanwa rejected and refused, a time will come that inshallah you will see all of them will embrace Islam. A time will come when they themselves will come forward and they will embrace Islam. And alhamdulillah, with that spirit of his, he came down and he started making effort and gradually the hijrah took place from Madinah Munawwara, and from there the Islam spread to all parts of the world. Alhamdulillah. During the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a group of people from Taif came now to Madinah Munawwara. They embraced Islam, they went back, and they started making effort in their own area. And during the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every person living in Taif had embraced Islam. Just as the people of Nenwa had embraced Islam, the people here also had embraced Islam. This work of Dawat and Tabligh that is taking place. Just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed and given this great task and responsibility, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before leaving this world, he had also given us, the ummah of his, the very same task also, that we now will have to take on this work and pass it on to everybody else. Those who are present here to those that are absent. And it was not only to those that are present on that occasion itself, it was a message to everyone that is going to come into this world. That we have to learn and we have to pass it on. We have to take the message to the four corners of the world and make such an effort that every person on earth receives the message and he embraces Islam. And in doing so, just as the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam during that time, similarly, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with all those people who do the work in this time and age also, until the day of Qiyamah. And we have seen this on many an occasion, where how the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to even today also, where people are making the effort for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the help, the unseen help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to. Mufti Mahmood, rahmatullah alayhi, while in South Africa, he attended many of our ijtimas, and many a time he was given the task, the chance to give a bayan. And in one of the bayan ijtimas that he attended, and he gave a bayan, he related an incident which is very similar to what transpired with Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, showing how the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come in this time and age also. He says he was in Bombay, and a young person happened to come in his majlis. There were some people that were with him. They introduced this person to Hazrat Maulana. Says, Mufti sahab, this is that person regarding whom we had told you earlier on. This is that very person. He received him, shook hands, embraced him, but was very happy to meet him. Who was this person? And what reference was being given regarding him? It is said that sometimes earlier, a jamaat of some young people were going out for 40 days. And they had a friend, this person here, who was from a very rich and wealthy family. And his parents were very careful with him, who he moves with, where he goes, etc. So his friends were going out in jamaat. And they made his tashkil. He got ready, but he said that my parents will not allow. So the jamaat went up to the parents, the father, spoke to him that we are going, we'll take the full responsibility, we'll look after him. And don't worry, we'll be all together, etc. After much effort, the father agreed and the person was given and said, okay, you can go with them. They left in jamaat for 40 days. They were in some parts of India, and it was just after the rainy season where the rivers were full, the streams were full. It was deep. And they were walking from one place to the other. And it so happened that they had to cross the river from one end to the other. And the only means of crossing this place was a log that was placed on the zisin. And people used to walk over the log and go on to the other side. So the jamaat, not knowing the strength of the log itself, all of them, maybe 8, 10, 12, or how many they had, and with the luggage with them, they all started to walk. Normally it was one person goes across and then another person goes and then another person goes. But here all of them at one time they got onto the log and they started walking. One got on and started walking before he could come on the other side, the second and the third and the fourth. And all the entire jamaat was now on the log. And the log itself could not take the weight of it. And right from the center it snapped and fell into the waters. The entire jamaat with all the beddings and luggage and everything fell into the water. Somehow they went on to the other side. Would swim and whatever they could do. One came out, the second one came out, the third one came out, the fourth came out, the entire jamaat came out. They counted the number of the satis that came out, and when they counted, they found that we were one short. Who is this one shot? And when they looked around the faces of everyone that was there, they found that it was none other than that person regarding whom we had taken the responsibility, we will take care of him and we will look after him. This was that person. That fear gripped them, says that we had taken the full responsibility of this person. What answer are we going to give to his father? And they spent the whole night searching and looking around, going into the waters and trying, doing whatever they could, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua. The next morning, they read the Fajr namaz. And after namaz, they were still in that state of sorrow and this and crying and asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When suddenly they heard some sounds in the water. When they looked up, they found a strange figure coming and coming straight towards them. A huge, massive creature. When they looked clearly again, they found that it was a crocodile that was heading towards them. Immediately fear gripped every one of them and they got up from where they were on the musallas and they began to run. They ran from there. The crocodile came right up to the bank, close to where they had been sitting. And it came up to that place and it opened its mouth. As though that is going to swallow some of the people that were there. But instead of swallowing anybody, something came out from the mouth of the, what you call, the crocodile itself. And it fell onto the ground. And just after that, the crocodile went back again into the waters and disappeared. After a while, they got a little bit of himmat. They came closer to see what was it. And when they came up to see what was taken out from the stomach of the crocodile itself, they found that it was none other and the person who had, they were searching for, the brother whom they had caught with, and he was been missing for the whole night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it possible in this time and age where a crocodile had to open its mouth to save that one person, and it remained in the stomach of that what you are, crocodile for that entire night. Just as during the time was with Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, the fish was used to preserve Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. In this time and age, when a person out for the deen of Allah, making the effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's help and assistance came up to this person, and in this way he was kept in the stomach for that entire night. The next morning he came out, and what you call, body also was like slippery, you could say, like grease, etc. And they kept on what, pressing him, massaging him, etc. After a while, they could hear, feel the pulse, it's now coming up, and gradually came up and became normal again. And this person then was, sometime later, brought in the presence of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he was introduced that, Sheikh, this is that person who went through this experience itself. So Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked us to a work which has got direct link with him, and direct help and assistance with him. And just as the link and help and assistance, the sawab also is accordingly, it will be much more than what it was during the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Alhamdulillah, we are proud. Proud of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, linked us to this great effort. The superiority of this ummah over the other ummahs is for the very same reason that we are doing the right and inviting towards the right. We are staying away from the wrongs and we are saving everybody else from the wrong. If these qualities are not within us, then we cannot term ourselves as the true, what you call, ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the two glaring qualities of this ummah. This is the task, this is the work which has been entrusted to us. We have to learn our deen. We have to follow our deen. We have to bring the reality of this deen into our lives. We have to make our own Islam. And at the same time, it is our responsibility what we like for ourselves. It's a duty to like the same thing for everybody else also. This is the duty of every Muslim. It cannot be such that we are living in an area where everything is there as far as deen is concerned. All the things. The environment is created just around a little away from here and people are far away from deen. There's no environment at all for deen and people are just looking away. Recently our Jamaat was working in Phoenix, just around the corner, not very far off from here. And what they discovered was very, very shocking for all of us, that although we are so dear, yet we are ignorant of what is happening just next door to us. Since where there are 24 masjids in Phoenix, there are no less than 400 churches there. And surprising, he says, several churches have got as caretakers such people who were born in Muslim homes, turned away from Islam, they have become murtad and they are working now in the churches. So this has been observed and seen by the Jamaat itself. And there are a number of people, for what reason Allah knows best, poverty and ignorance, etc., have turned away and are becoming easy victims for the disease. How much effort we have to make ourselves. On ourselves also and our own neighbors around here. So. Alhamdulillah, keeping all this in mind, ijtimaas are taking place, jamaats are moving, reminding everybody else also. This effort is being made throughout the world for the very same reason. Firstly, it's for ourselves, that I myself am in need. This is my responsibility, my task that has been entrusted unto me. I have to do this work. I have to make this effort so that I, my Islah is made, and I fulfill the task that has been placed upon my shoulders. And at the same time, what I'm doing for myself, and this is for everybody else also, to remind everybody else also for the same thing. But alhamdulillah, we are having this ijtima that's taking place in the first week of April. It's going to be taking place in Phoenix itself. We need every one of us to shoulder the responsibility and start making effort right from now in whatever form we can. Firstly, making dua, requesting our mothers at home to make dua, keeping fast and asking for her guidance and help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And coming out and using the time that we've got from now until the ijtima to prepare and make such an effort that no person stays away from the ijtima. Everybody prepares himself, frees himself for those days of the ijtima and attends the ijtima. And from now we make such an effort that we go house to house, remind everybody regarding the ijtima and the need and the importance of coming out and making the effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before the ijtima also. And from the ijtima to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as we are seeing the condition in our neighborhood here, the same thing happens throughout the world. You go to South America, you find the same condition. You go to North America, you find the same thing. You go to African countries, you go to Asian countries, you find similar things are happening. Because we've left the work that was entrusted onto us, this is what is happening to us. And just a little effort on our side, we take the responsibility again on ourselves and start making the effort, we see that how quickly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the entire face of the world. Just that the efforts are not being made, this is the outcome of it. We start making the effort, not only we will become better Muslims, and not only the Muslims that have drifted away will come back again, this will have an effect on the non-Muslims also, and they will come themselves also and become, join hands and they will become Muslims also. And what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied, that Islam will reach the four corners of the world, every house on earth, everybody will become Muslims. Inshallah, this is going to happen, and definitely it will happen. How nice it would be that we have a share in this great effort. That through us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give hidayat to hundreds and thousands of people in different parts of the world. Where we are leaving this world, we are not going empty-handed, we are taking hundreds and thousands of us or others also with us into Jannah also. Imagine the joy and the happiness Allah will get. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get. That here is the person who had come into this world long after he had left. And he had done the work which was entrusted to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu directly by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through them it has reached us. We had not seen that period. We had not seen the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had not seen the Sahaba and the Tabi'in. Yet, alhamdulillah, realizing the need and the importance, with yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yaqeen in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqeen in what Allah has promised for us in the hereafter, alhamdulillah, we made a sacrifice and we went out and started and made effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us all that are here, take it upon ourselves that this is my work. I, as an ummati of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is my work. It is my responsibility. I have to do the work. If I'm not going to do it, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be losing out. Let us all shoulder this responsibility and stand up and give our names that inshallah, at our earliest, first and foremost, we'll give our God performance and thereafter the yearly chilla and the 3 days, etc. MashaAllah. Who is the first person to stand up and give the name? Alhamdulillah. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أقول اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة، والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار، والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار، والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين، اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت، اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا، اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرقا وحوزه لنا موردا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.